Good morning. We've got a number of visitors with us today. It's nice to see Mark and Jan back. Picked a wonderful, cool time to be here doing your outdoor activities. It was beautiful spring for a long time, then all of a sudden, boom, summer. But we've got a number of visitors with us. We extend a special welcome to you and glad that you came to worship with us. We have a prayer request from Glenda. Kind of two separate things. One, she's concerned about what's being taught in schools. So am I, that boys and girls can basically choose their own sex of whatever they were, you know, opposite of what they were born with, and that's the going teaching today. But we know that that's different from going back to Genesis 1. And also, she's going to be going to California on the 5th, this Wednesday, to help take care of her brother while his wife is in the hospital. So we need to pray for her sister-in-law and the brother at this time. Let's go to God in prayer on behalf of Glenda's requests. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you be with Glenda as she goes to help out with her relatives. We ask that her sister-in-law has a successful surgery and that she will be up and around soon and without much pain. Dear God, we also pray for the children in schools. We know that some of the teachings in the schools is not the teachings that you would have from your inspired word of God. We ask that you be with the families, the parents, that they teach the proper things to the children, to where they can be able to face some of those things that they encounter in the world. Dear God, we ask that you be with us the rest of this service. We hope that everything that has and will be done is done in spirit and in truth and pleasing to you. We give you all glory and honor, and we pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 5th chapter, this is where the bulk of our lesson is going to be. We will be looking at a couple of different verses, but this is where the bulk of the message is going to be taken from. Starting in verse 1 of Luke chapter 5, we see kind of the setting of what's going on. And starting in verse 1, it says, "So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God." Throughout Jesus' teachings, he will encounter multitudes quite often. And so much that literally he finds himself almost surrounded by the crowds wanting to hear him. And it goes on to say, they pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. We were just talking in Bible class about how the multitudes had come to Jesus, and he goes up on a hillside and sits down to where he can to speak to these people that are there that had come to listen to him speak. Here, same thing. The multitudes were there, And so he gets into the boat and separates himself a little bit to where he can speak to the crowds. And we don't know what the definition of multitudes is. We don't know, but it's quite a few. A lot of people were wanting to hear what Jesus had to say. Verse 4, we see a command. We see a change of attitude here from where Jesus had started this message. He was done with his message, and now the message is now to Peter, where at first he was teaching the multitudes. We don't know exactly what he said to the multitudes. Now the message is directed toward Peter. And in verse 4 it says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I find it interesting that the son of a carpenter is telling a professional fisherman how to fish. But yet we're going to see it works out. And he says, launch into the deep. How many times, maybe not using those words, through the Gospels, does Jesus have his followers launch into the deep? To go out into some areas that you're maybe not comfortable with. How many times have we had to launch into the deep? Do something that maybe we're not comfortable with. I applaud the men that get up on Sunday night and deliver the lessons to us. Men that may not be, quote, professional speakers, but they get up and deliver the Word of God. Amen. Song leaders that may not make their living through singing, but they get up and they are standing in front of people. It's amazing. Not you, but how intimidating getting up in front of people can be. Not so much you in general, just getting up in front of people. I have heard, thank goodness, it is not one of those big fears of mine, but I've heard that public speaking is one of the most feared things that people go through. Dogs and snakes and spiders and heights and things like that are all up there. But getting in front of a crowd, that's one of those times when Jesus is telling us, launch into the deep. Get up and do things that you're not necessarily comfortable with. He's telling Peter specifically, launch into the deep. I wonder what was inside his mind. We're going to see what Peter says. But I wonder, it would be interesting to know what was in his mind. In verse 5, But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. They had been active all night. Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and John, they were buddies. They were partners, fishermen. And they have been working all night fishing. Now this is the kind of fishing with the nets and the boats and all. Not the kind where you put a worm on a hook. Not the kind of fishing you like, on a lake where you cast it out. Not that kind of fishing. It's hard work throwing out the nets and rowing these boats against currents and all that. We've been at it all night. We've caught nothing. Why don't you tend to dovetailing wood together? You're telling me how to fish? I'm a professional. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. They had been active. Active doesn't always mean effective. People on a treadmill are active, but they get nowhere. They put a lot of effort into it. They might even break into a run, and they're going. And they get off, and they haven't gone anywhere. I'm not saying working out on a treadmill isn't good. I'm not saying that. But in life, don't we catch ourselves sometimes active? Maybe even religiously. Oh, I'm busy, but ineffective. Maybe because I'm not doing it the right way. Maybe because I'm doing it without the right attitude. What was it Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? That if I do all these things, even if I deliver my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Anyway, in verse 5, we see a couple of different lessons. One, Peter and the fishermen had been active, but had been ineffective. Also in verse 5, we see an example of obedience. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I like the King James Version, at thy word, Tracy. I've heard that phrase from Tracy I don't know how many times. At thy word. That's good enough. We mentioned in Bible class, Jesus had a habit of teaching repetition. How many times did Jesus get the same message across, but in umpteen different ways, that by time you think about it, oh, I've seen it done in this fashion, I've heard this story, I've heard this parable, I've seen this take place, all revolving around the same issue. He taught in repetition, but if Jesus said it once, that's good enough. At your word. Nevertheless, I'm saying this. We've been out there all night and have caught nothing. I think I'm a pretty good fisherman. I've been doing it this way, but at your word, because you said it, we will do it. At your word, I will let down the net. As a result, we see success. When Peter did it the way Jesus said, and this was more of a lesson than fish. This is not about, Jesus did not do this. The main purpose was not to give them a nice haul of fish. That's a side benefit. Do it my way, Peter. He had to focus on Peter a few times. You know, luckily, Jesus had grown up around carpenters because he had access to a nice size 2x4 that he would have to use on Peter once in a while. Whack him right between the eyes once in a while just to get his attention, to get through that thick skull. He's going to have to work on Peter quite regularly. And this message is, do it my way. I'm not going to leave you in the dark. I will tell you what to do. But do it my way. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. They caught so many fish, their nets wouldn't even hold. Isn't that a good thing? That's the ultimate. It amazes me. You go to a place of business, and I'm sorry, we're swamped right now. Shouldn't you be wanting that every day? As a business person, that's what you're open for, is to do the maximum amount of business. And this is what they were there for. They caught such a great number of fish that their nets were breaking. We don't know for sure. Might have been, and I'm not saying this was, this might have been the greatest haul of fish they'd ever had. And they did so at the words of the carpenter's son. That's how it happened. In verse 7, we see that they worked together. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now, Peter was in business as a fisherman with his brother Andrew and with James and John. And so they're, you know, he's hollering over at him, hey, come on, we got a lot of fish. And they come over and they're hauling the fish in so much it filled both boats. And the boats were kind of about to sink. When they did it the way Jesus had told them to, they had more than abundance. More than abundance. Working together. It took working together for this. Peter couldn't have done it on his own. And that's another side lesson for Peter. Peter could not do this on his own. He had already showed that he had been out there and had not had success. But now that he did have success, he could not have the amount of success without working with others. Kind of speaks to us today. One, when we work together, we get better results. When we're working together instead of against each other, as Christians, we get better results. We get aid from each other. We get comfort from each other. When you've got a task and you're facing it all by yourself, do you imagine trying to do a lake liner all by your little lonesome, just you? That's tough. You've got an overwhelming task, but if other people are there, we're going to tackle this. We're going to get after it. And the encouragement that you get from each other. When you're working with somebody else, you're going to go a little bit harder. Most people are going to push themselves a little harder in practice with their teammates and coaches around than if they're working out on their own. Amen. Because they're there and the others are going to be encouraging you. I used to, When I was a teenager, I had such a wonderful opportunity to work for a man in the church. He owned a Winnebago camper shell business here in town. And we built Winnebago camper shells. And it was designed to where a person by themselves could do it. The pieces and parts, you put it together kind of like a model. And you had these different tools and all this stuff that put together where a person by themselves could work and put together a camper shell. But when we worked together, two of us, we could do it. We could build two faster than one person could build one. Working together. That was one of the lessons Peter found out. A great task is going to be placed on them down the road. And they're learning the benefit they need to lean on each other. Verse 8, we see that they were humbled and convicted over what had just happened. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He realized, he probably realized the things that he was thinking in his mind, what's this carpenter trying to tell me about fishing? And then he realized he's the Savior. Of course he can. I need to listen to him. But it convicted him and it humbled him. That's one of those kind of two-befores that Peter needed. They were all astonished. They were a little shocked at this event. Verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. It doesn't say it, but obviously this is not an everyday occurrence. This might have been the largest number of fish they'd ever taken. It doesn't say that. And I'm not saying it does, but it's possible. It definitely was not just another Tuesday. They will be talking about this one for a while. And they will have the impact for a while. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, I wonder if they will think back to this event. This is... here in John 20, this is at the end of Jesus' ministry. He had been resurrected and was getting ready to be ascended back up into heaven. And this is one of the last things that Jesus will physically tell his apostles. And as he's with them at the end, the apostle John is writing down all these events. And even though the passage we're in has been in Luke, at the end of John, John says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in him, that believing you may have life in his name. I wonder if their minds went back toward the end of the ministry, if they went back to these earlier days, to these things that Jesus had done, if they brought up, remember when we were fishing and he did this? Remember when he healed the blind man? Remember when he healed the lame man? Remember when he healed leprosy? remember this, remember that. Verse 10, you see the application. And so also, not only was Peter astonished and the others, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. You will be fishers of men. Your profession is you go catch fish. You're going to use the things I've taught you, and you're going to catch men for my sake." In Matthew 28, one of the last things that Jesus would utter to the apostles, he's saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." But Jesus, I'm a tax collector. But Jesus, I'm a fisherman. And you're wanting me to go out and do these? Remember the fish story? Wake up, smell the coffee. Do it my way. And lo, I am with you always. Just like I was with you in the boat, I will be with you. And in verse 11, we see that they were converted because of all this. Could you imagine if all that stuff took place and it had no effect on them? Could you imagine having a great haul of fish and it just kind of ho-hum? Could you imagine healing a leper? Is that all? A blind man getting his sight? Oh, okay, see ya. And going on his way, it affected them. This event, they were converted to Jesus. In verse 11, so when they had brought their boats to land, when they got those boats full of fish to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's being converted. They just had the greatest haul of their lives, and they're forsaking it all and following Jesus because of it. Because of it. Jesus wants us to be fishers of men. And we can. But I'm a real estate guy. I work in an office. I'm retired. Jesus wants us to be fishers of men, to catch men's souls. Next week, we're going to look at how we go about that. Okay? Kind of a two-parter. We always like to offer an invitation to people if they have not been baptized, if they have not put their Lord on in baptism, and if maybe they have and are Christians and need to repent. We want to give them that opportunity. If they've been kind of maybe bouncing around, looking at some congregations here in town and would like to quit bouncing and land someplace and would like to identify with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. We would welcome you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known. Well, Kurt leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.